But tonight I want to, the message is called, Are You Blind? And it is time, as His people, that we get rid of the things that blind us and we see clearly the purpose and what He has for us in everyday life. And I think I forgot the children. I get excited. So Pastor Martha, why don't you go ahead and take Soul Patrol out? Have fun, you guys. Oh.
My goodness sakes, a lie.
Your tester. Also, we just want to pass out around the offering plate while we're letting the children go. Those of you that want to help with paying for our room as we're here, that's how we do it. We just, when the money's here, then we have our service. So that's how we've always done it. And then we'll just put the offering plate probably on one of the tables back there, too, if you don't have time to do it now. So that'll be available for you. And then the youth are going to go with Krissa. All right. Okay, is there anything else I forgot? Am I good? It's hard to remember everything that you need to do. But it's time that we let go of the things that blind us. So we're going to find out tonight, what are some things that might blind us and prevent us from being who we truly are in Jesus and to clearly see our purpose in life. We can probably, sometimes you might feel like you don't have a purpose, or you just wonder why you're on this earth. I think it's the enemy trying to blind you, because everybody, if you're breathing, God created you for a purpose, period. I don't care what your neighbor says. I don't care what anybody says. You're put on here for a purpose. So, but I was in the airport, it was a few years ago, and I had just finished speaking at a women's conference in Oregon. And so I was in the airport waiting to catch a plane to come back to Spokane. And I saw this man, and he was blind. And he had a walking stick, but he had it all folded up and was just sitting off to the side in one of the seats. And how many are a people watcher? I watch people. It's interesting entertainment. Now, I wasn't watching him just to be entertained, but but you know, he caught my attention. And so he was blind, and he was waiting there. And then pretty soon, they made an announcement, all those that need to pre-board. And someone came over and tapped him on the arm and let him know that it was time for him to pre-board. And so he got up, got his walking stick ready, and then was escorted by this person to go into the airplane. And so he was totally needing this person to help him get to where he was supposed to go, or else he would get on the wrong plane, right? He put his trust in that person, and his blindness prevented him from seeing for himself the steps he needed to take to get into the right line to board the right plane. I don't know if he was born with blindness. You know, we never did strike up a conversation, but he seemed very content in it, and I am sure if someone came to him and said, I can take your blindness away, I'm sure he wouldn't argue with them. You know, he would be quickly ready to say, please, I want to see. And it's interesting because Jesus has healed so many people in the Bible that were blind. So many different miracles that he performed, and we can read it in the Bible. And he had compassion on them, on the people who had the needs, and he healed them. And blind people long to be healed and are persistent in asking for their healing. So I want to look at a couple of verses, a couple of stories in the Bible tonight that Jesus healed these blind people, okay? So if you have your Bibles, it'll also be up on the screen here. But two blind men who received their sight was in Matthew 20, 29 through 34. And I'm going to read out of the New King James, and it says this. Matthew 20, 29 through 34. Several verses here. It says, Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I love this, because I can't get ahead of myself, so. Okay. It's really cool stuff. Let's also look at Mark 10, 46 through 52, because this is the account when Jesus heals Bartimaeus, okay? So Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. And he called, and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Two accounts of blind people who didn't care what the crowd said. They cried out all the more to be touched by Jesus. Desperation. You know, we sang it tonight. "I'm desperate for you." Do we really know what that means? Now, can you imagine being one of these people? In both of these stories, the blind were desperate. We know this because they cried out all the more when they were told to be quiet. Bartimaeus was tired of living in darkness. I think all of them were. Those who were trying to keep him quiet didn't understand his darkness. They didn't live those many years with the darkness, did they? They had no clue what they were talking about. But these people were tired of their darkness. They were tired of being blind. I'm sure they heard all over the region this Jesus of Nazareth coming by to touch them, to touch people. And they were probably thinking, "One day, I hope it's me. I want it to be me." It's interesting how the naysayers come out, but they have no clue your life, do they? And so they had no clue what these blind people, what they had ever gone through. They didn't live for years without sight. They couldn't relate to his cry. It was like, "Shh, shh, you're embarrassing me." But they didn't care, because desperation changed something inside of them. And Bartimaeus was tired of having to rely on people to help him get around, just like this gentleman that I saw in the airport. He was sick and tired of actually being sick and tired, I'm sure. No one would have talked him out of his healing that day. And from deep within, he called out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." How many want a touch from God? Amen. And I have been in places, desperation in my life, where I say, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." You know, there's something to be said with that phrase, "Son of David," because it brings it down almost to, well, it brings it to human terms, because we start realizing David, the genealogy, this is the New Testament that these statements are being said. But Son of David, David was an Old Testament character, wasn't he? And we hear the phrases, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? There's something to be said of those patriarchs. But then, and Jacob had Joseph, and Joseph had David. See the steps here. And so these people, New Testament, Old Testament has gone, And Jesus came, the Messiah, who was going to bring in the new covenant. And to me, I think these blind people were prophetic because they said, Son of David. It's almost like they reached into the past, but they were also going into the future saying, have mercy on me, this Messiah that we don't even know is a Messiah yet, right? And their blindness in this situation, to me, they could see clearly. And why is it that we, as we see clearly, sometimes we get blinded or for some of the things in our life? So they totally ignored the naysayers, ignored the crowd, because deep within, they needed this. They wanted this. They longed for it. He was desperate for change, and with desperation comes urgency. He could not take one more day in darkness. And I love it, because as we read through the story, we found out that Bartimaeus, he cast away his garment. And that could have been something that either it could have been a blanket, it could have been a coat, it could have been something, it was something that brought comfort to him when he was begging and was sitting or laying or standing, whatever the man was doing, that brought comfort. And so when Jesus said, bring him to me, and the men said, he wants to see you, and he just got rid of it. Because even that, his very comfort, the things that he held dear, he said, I don't care. I want what Jesus has. I want Jesus. I want a touch from him. I want to be healed of my blindness. It was his security, his warmth. He cast it away. He was tired of functioning in the darkness and cast away what was dear to him to be healed by the Master. He didn't care what it took to get to Jesus. You know, we go to church, we go home, we do our daily thing, our weekly thing. Where's your heart with Jesus? Are you desperate for him? If Jesus was taken out of your life today, how would you function? I can't even imagine. It's like, you are the air I breathe, I can't breathe. And he didn't care what it took to get to Jesus. He was determined not to have anything prevent him from coming. He didn't want any hindrance in his way. Only a touch from Jesus could cure his desperation. Now, desperation can be a good thing. In this situation, it was, because it was directed in the right direction. And in Bartimaeus' case, his desperation drove him to the Master. You know, if he wasn't desperate, do you think he would cry out? Okay? I know that sounds weird. But he got to the place, something clicked inside him that he's like, I'm done. Right? And he just was like, this is who I am today. I have to have Jesus. That's where he was at. And it made him ignore the naysayers, like I said, and cry out all the more. I'm sure he chose to ignore what he might have been thinking in his mind at the time. Well, you've always been blind. What makes you think you will see today? Right? But he ignored all of that. Is it just me? Or do you guys go through stuff like that too? You know? You're going through your daily life, and you can talk yourself into something, and you can talk yourself out of something. You can talk yourself into, yeah, God is good, and then all of a sudden you can talk yourself, he doesn't hear my prayer. He doesn't hear my cry. Where are you? And then the beginning of the day, you're just having this on top, mountaintop experience, and then by the end of the day, it's like, oh, where are you, God? Or is that just me because I'm an emotional person? I hope not. Well, I mean, you know, misery loves company, but I don't think that's a good thing in this situation. Desperation brings us to the end of ourself. And it is there we realize we are tired of where we are and decide to do something about it. You know, desperation, think of the prodigal son. We talked about this on Father's Day. Desperation brought that prodigal to realize, I don't want to eat. I long for what the pigs are eating, and I can't even have that. I'm so hungry. I'm going to go back, swallow my pride, go back and just be a hired hand. Desperation clicked into that prodigal son's heart and said, okay, I'm done. I need to go back. I need to ask forgiveness. You know, I guess there needs to be inside of us. If you're hungry for God, you have to get to the point where you don't care if you lose your dignity because you want to touch deity, right? Desperation will bring change. And change is a good thing when you're stuck in a rut or when you're blind. Desperation is more than wanting something different. It is a mindset change that forces you to action. Desperation, I want to say, is an action word in that it makes you take action. You have gone past accepting what is going on. You have unrest. You are frustrated. You have tried and exhausted everything you can do and have come to the conclusion if God doesn't intervene, there is no hope. And we talked about it earlier, brokenness. You just get to this place where I'm lost without it. I don't know what I'm going to do, right? But it's the best place for you because it's kind of like when Joseph was falsely accused in Potiphar's house and got kicked into the prison, sent into the prison. What looked in the natural like he was totally losing it again. He's, you know, you dreamer, right? Yeah, sure, you're going to be, people are going to bow in front of you. And where are you? You're in prison, you know. But yet, the very place, what he saw was not his destiny, right? So if you're in the middle of something like that, it's not your destiny. It's a setup. God's setting you up, just like he set up Joseph. So if you get all these naysayers, if you get all these hardships, if you get all these no's, as in, no, you can't have this job or whatever, you just be still. Because God's getting ready to set you up. Amen? Come on. And so let's look at some things about Bartimaeus that we want to see what his desperation did for him. How desperation affected Bartimaeus, okay? Number one, it made him realize Jesus was the answer. That's what desperation did. Okay? Why does God put us allow things to go on in our life? Sometimes it brings us to a desperation. To go, you're the answer, not me. You're the answer, not this job that I just lost. You're the answer, not this relationship that just gone sour. You are my answer, right? And so in this situation, Bartimaeus' desperation made him realize Jesus was the answer. His desperation also made him ignore those who told him to stay quiet. You know, if they walked a day in his shoes, they'd be crying out too, right? All right. Some people don't understand why you do what you do, but do it anyway. They don't live your life. You're living your own life. And you and God, you know, you have this relationship. And you know what he's asking you or what he's requiring of you or what he's speaking to you. And a person on the outside might look at you and go, you're doing what? Okay, sometimes we have to hold those little revelations and dreams inside our heart and ponder them for a while before we share it because we just got to let it grow, germinate, that seed to germinate inside us before we even let someone else know. So it made him ignore those who told him to stay quiet. And it made him ignore what he might have thought about his condition, which was could have been hopeless. This is what desperation did in Bartimaeus' life. It made him come to the end of himself. Why is it that human nature, that's what always ends up happening to have to happen for us to come to the end of ourselves? It's like when we're looking for our keys. Well, it was the last place I looked. Well, yeah. But it's like we have to end up coming to the end of ourselves. We exhaust everything that we try to do. And we realize, I'm not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And it's that whole trust factor. Do you trust him? You know, he's not showing you right away. But what you're doing is not working. Or all of a sudden you're in the middle of something that was not even your doing. Someone made a decision and boom. Okay? And yet there's this trust factor. Okay, God. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord, right? You can trust in that. Lord, I trust you that you are ordering my steps. I trust you that you are God who sees. I trust you that you see this situation that I'm in. And I trust you that you'll provide whatever my needs are. Okay. Number five, desperation made him cry out to Jesus. This is the best thing about his desperation. Made him cry out. Jesus never turns a deaf ear. He never rejects us. I'm sorry, I'm a little busy right over here because, you know, I'm dealing with world peace over here. No. Jesus will always listen. A broken and contrite heart, he will never despise. He will never cast away. Desperation made him let go of his comfort or what he knew. This is not an easy thing, though, for us sometimes. Because our comfort is our happy place. Don't mess with my apple cart, right? Don't mess with my thing. This is my thing. You're in my space. You're in my business. Don't get in my business. But Jesus will do that. Jesus will allow circumstances to happen. And if I can get my ring off, maybe not. I want to use it as an example. Okay. If this is you, and this is God's hand, and you're right there, right? And then he's holding you in his hand. But if he pours some sand onto his hand, he can close it up so no sand gets in there, or he can allow some to get in there. Or if somebody else comes and pours, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes circumstances God just allows, and sometimes he actually lets happen. He makes happen. But in any situation, he decides how much can get to you. You're still in his hand. You're not going anywhere. But sometimes we get covered with sand and we go, what's going on? Where are you? You said you'd be there and you're not. But in reality, you are, right? And God wants to know, to what extent do you trust him? He wants to know, to what extent do you need him in your life? We need him. He didn't create a bunch of robots to do exactly what he wants. He wants us to have that choice to say, I need you. I want you. I love you. And I can't, I'm desperate. I can't do anything without you. Let go of our comfort. And number seven, let's just go back to that for a second. Sometimes our comfort is our mindset, our way of thinking, and God wants us to look at it from a different angle. That's a hard situation to let go of. Sometimes that garment or that comfort can be certain people in our life, and then all of a sudden they're not there. You ever had that happen to you? It's not a comfortable place. You start second-guessing yourself. But God is wanting to know, if this comfort, if the things that you know is not there, do you still love me? If I was to take this or this from you, do you still love me? You know, that's what I want with my girls, my kids. It's like I just want them to love me unconditionally. And if I don't give them what they want at the store, I still want them to love me, you know, because of who I am, not because of what I can give them. Number seven, desperation made him receive his healing, and he was never the same again. What if he didn't cry out? What if he wasn't desperate? Jesus would have passed on by. He never would have gotten his healing that day, none of them. Desperation makes you do desperate things. That sounds okay, yeah. It does. It does. It makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. All right? What are you willing to do? You don't have to answer this question, but what are you willing to do that, how do I word this? Because it's not in my notes. It's just a thought I have. What are you willing to do to touch the hem of his garment? Well, you know, it's almost time for me to, my show is on. Desperation. When you wake up in the morning and you go through your day tomorrow, I want you to see if you're desperate for God. Or are you just doing what you're doing because that's what you do? Do you love him because that's how you were raised? Or do you love him because you love him? Because he has forgiven much. You know, those that love much have been forgiven much, right? Okay. Now, I don't know if this next thing is going to show, because I don't know if I'm on the internet. Let's see what happens. I don't think I am. Can you give me a second? And I don't remember the code here. Well, it might work. Let's see. I don't think it's going to work. Well, what this video is, it's a video of a man who was born blind. And it shows him how he walks across a street, a busy traffic street. And sometimes he was in a city where when the light was green for him to walk, you can hear this, and he can hear that, so he knows that it was okay for him to walk. But some cities don't have that. I really wish we could have seen the video, because a car almost hits him. And he kind of swerves out of the walking path, the crosswalk. And he ends up going towards a van that's parked, and then his cane hits it, and then he has to get back over to the curb. You know, the car is parked, the van is parked close to the curb. So, but he explains, he goes, I'm scared. He was even getting ready to, I'm going to show you how to do this, you know. And he goes, I'm scared, but I can do this. Okay, but he was blind, and he couldn't see where he was going. And if he could see where he's going, you wouldn't have seen him veer off. You wouldn't have seen a car come and almost hit him. Because when we can see, we know where to walk. We look for traffic. It's not even an issue. You don't even think about it, right? And so I wanted you to see, just get a little taste of what it's like to be blind. It's interesting. I see people going down the street that are blind, and they have their little blind stick, and I'm thinking, how do they do it? I would be, you know, I guess if that's all they know, that's all they know. If you were thrust into something like that, it would just be overwhelming, I would imagine. Okay? And you would have to deal with it. But blindness is a scary place to be. Being blind, he had to have someone help him. You know, if he was veering off, he had to you need to go to the left a little bit. Someone in the car was actually saying, little more left, more left, more left. And he was actually getting mad at him. But in a reality, this person was trying to help him, and he understood that too. But being blind makes you have to rely on other people. You can't be, you can't rely on your own self. You can't see everything. You can't see the whole picture. You can't see any picture, right? Being blind forces you to rely on someone else to show you where you are going. Blindness makes you stumble in the dark. You cannot see the beauty around you. You never experience the freedom of running. A blind person tends to stay where it is safe. And please understand, if you know someone who is blind, I'm not trying to pick on them, okay? I'm just trying to use this as an example. We can be blind to the attacks of the enemy and blind to what God is trying to show us. How many, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to be my eyes to see clearly what the enemy is trying to do. I want to see clearly what I am supposed to do in this life. Blindness will block us from seeing the needs of others. It only allows us to know our own darkness and misery. Now, I'm saying all this because if we're blind to certain situations, if we're blind to what God has for us, if we're blind to the bigger picture of that, you know, it's just not, life isn't all about me, but it's about other people too. Right? But we can get pretty selfish. We can get, I don't even want to say narrow vision, because you don't even see that if you're blind. You don't have vision.
Don't it say that the born blind, you're without sin?
If you're born blind?
Yeah, if you were born blind, then you're without sin. Because you don't see all the sin going on around the world.
Well, you still are born in sin. Because we all are, yeah.
But Jesus did that. He said in that Jesus of Nazareth that he, since he is blind, he is without sin.
I'm trying to follow your thought process here.
Well, he doesn't see the sins of the world. He's can't do nothing, so he's not doing nothing wrong. He's not lusting or any of that because he's blind. He's without sin, other than being born in sin.
Yes, but yet we can still sin, even if we had no sight, right? I mean, a blind person can go commit adultery if they're married to somebody else, couldn't they? Right?
You wouldn't take intention.
I think intentionally.
Yeah.
I do. You know?
Back in those days.
A blind person can take the Lord's name in vain. You know? A blind person can have another idol besides God. I'm just thinking of some Ten Commandment type stuff here, too. You know? The only thing is they can't see something that would instantly make them lust after it. That's probably what you're leaning on, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, it's on Jesus in Nazareth. He was telling the Pharisees that he couldn't see, he is without sin, you can see and I can take your sight from you.
I think he probably knew each of the people's hearts. I think that's what he was trying to show. That's my guess on that thought. I'd have to watch what you saw, but that's just my thought on it. But, you know,
I think he was kind of making a point, too, to everybody around there in the church.
Well, he was without...
Without sight, he's without sight, he's without sin. Where you have sight, therefore your sin remains.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gotcha. And that's probably what it was. I see what you're trying to say.